you, Phil, and good morning. I don't know, is this right? I'm usually not at a loss of words to talk about 10,000 villages, but it's usually not 100 people at once. But Bill and I are excited to talk to you this morning about 10,000 villages. Many of you know about the store here in Williamsville, but others do not. So I'm going to tell you some of the history of 10,000 villages, both nationally and locally, and then Bill will share about our adventure in New Brunswick this past November. 10,000 Villages is a not-for-profit company affiliated with our Mennonite Church and is one of the world's largest fair trade organizations. What is fair trade? Fair trade provides unemployed and underemployed artisans with the opportunity to earn vital income and improve their quality of life. Our vision at 10,000 Villages is that one day all artisans in developing countries will earn a fair wage, be treated with dignity, and live a life of quality. And so the mission of 10,000 Villages is to create opportunities for those artisans to earn the income by bringing their products to North America, United States, and Canada through long-term fair trading relationships. And how is this done? When our buyers meet with the artisans, they ascertain what does it cost them to feed, house, clothe their family? How long does it take them to make a certain product? And what is the cost for supplies and equipment to make that product? Through that, a price is set as to what we should be paying them for each item so that the artisan is making a fair wage in that country. We then give the artisan 50% of their money when we place an order. That gives them money to buy the supplies and equipment that they need, and then we pay them the other 50% when they ship to us. So everything that you see out in the lobby, that you see in the store when you come to shop at the store, the artisan has already been paid for completely. Our buyers also work with the artisans in color and design so that what they make are saleable in North America. In this way, we also keep long-term agreements with those artisan groups. So in this way, 10,000 Villages gives financial stability and consistency to the artisans. Other companies tend to be short-term, and that leaves the artisans much more vulnerable in their work. So how did all this start? 10,000 Villages was founded in 1946 through the visionary work of Edna Ruth Byler. Edna's husband worked for one of the Mennonite missions, and she traveled with her husband as he visited missionaries. While she was in Puerto Rico with her husband, she was not only struck by the overwhelming poverty there, she was also amazed at the beautiful needlework she saw the women working on. So she purchased as much as she could, giving them a fair price for their work. And when back in the States, she sold as much as she could out of the trunk of her car at the churches that her husband was speaking in. From her car, sales grew to her garage, and then to one store, and in the past 65 years has spread to stores all over the U.S. and Canada. Edna began a grassroots campaign among her family and friends, not only by selling the handcrafted products, she also made a concerted effort to educate her community about the lives of artisans around the world. And for the next 30 years, Mrs. Byler worked tirelessly to connect individual entrepreneurs in developing or third world countries with market opportunities in North America. And from those humble beginnings, 10,000 Villages has grown. We now have over 75 stores in the United States, stretching from California to Florida, with many more in Canada. The items we sell come from 37 different countries. They come from Asia, Africa, Latin America, South America, and the Middle East. And now locally, 10,000 Villages has been here in Western New York for 30 years. We were first in Akron, New York, and it was then known as the Agape Shop. And many of you might remember the Agape Shop. Alden Mennonite Church, Clarence Center, Akron Mennonite, Harris Hill Mennonite, Clarence Center, Brethren in Christ, and a Quaker church in Orchard Park were all very involved with the opening of the Agape Shop, and there were many who volunteered their time at the store over the years. Some of our volunteers here at Alden Mennonite Church have included Kim Atwell with her two daughters, Valerie and Caitlin. Shirley Mast was the manager for years before she and her husband Richard moved south. Dallas Kipfer, a brother to Kevin and Darwin, served on the board, and his wife Peggy Kipfer was a regular volunteer at Agape Shop. Aurelia Beachy was also a regular volunteer at the store, and her husband Cal Beachy not only served on the board, but also helped with repairs, volunteering many hours. And Ruth Jancy currently volunteers at the Williamsville store on a regular basis. And there are probably many others that I've missed, so I apologize if I didn't mention your name or somebody that you know from our church. Approximately 12 years ago, it was decided that all stores in the U.S. and Canada should have the same name so that it could be easily recognized by customers all over the country. At that time, our name changed from the Agape Shop to 10,000 Villages. Soon after that time, the store was moved to Main Street in Williamsville between the Ellicott Creek and the Old Red Mill. And if you're still not sure, there's the picture of our store. It's exactly 2 miles west of Transit Road on Main Street. Our store here in Williamsville has 3 staff plus 35 volunteers, which Ruth and I are a part of. I have been volunteering there for 10 years and Ruth for 4 years. But what I really want to talk to you about this morning are some of the artisans and their products. I had 139 pictures and stories to tell you about, but I was afraid that would go too long, and I'm just going to show a few because I want Bill to have a chance to talk. I did bring a few of the items up front, and Bill will hold some of them up for you to see when I talk about that artisan. This first one is Ganga Chakrata from Kathmandu, Nepal. She works with Everest Pottery, creating ceramic gifts and home decor like this ceramic lotus candle holder that she has in her hand. And if you notice, she's sitting on the floor, and her little wheel is just only a foot and a half off the floor. So that a lot of them are little home workshops like that. Everest Pottery is a small workshop working to preserve rich artistic skill and traditions of the Nepali people. And here is a group of ladies from India working together to create beautiful handcrafted jewelry. We have a large wall full of beautiful, unique jewelry crafted from all over the world. And I love the way with the jewelry, a lot of the workshops are small little home workshops, so the women can work right in their home and care for their children at the same time, which really helps them work. This next picture is Jakia Sultana and two other tailors from the country of Bangladesh. Jakia sews stuffed animals and purses for us at 10,000 Villages. The center where she works provides training as well as a fair wage and income to many disadvantaged women. And then the pottery would be the next. Most of our pottery comes from Vietnam company based in Ho Chi Minh City, Vietnam. These potters use time-honored techniques to create beautiful ceramics. These ceramics include planters, bird baths, vases, teapots, cups, saucers, and much more. And many of these groups are small, family-owned businesses. These ladies from Bangladesh are transforming discarded snack bags and wrappers into delightful market and picnic baskets. This group also makes some of our greeting cards, garlands, and headbands. And I'm always amazed at the items in the store that are made with materials that we in North America would throw out, filling our landfills. They're very creative and resourceful with what they can find. This lady is from Jakarta, Indonesia. She is holding up one of the beautiful handbags she has created. This workshop also creates candle holders, carved wooden boxes, and other home decor items for 10,000 Villages. In addition to business and marketing training, artisans at this workshop also qualify for loans, school scholarships, and help with medical expenses. He looks pretty good, doesn't he? This lady is from India. Artisans working at Palam Rural Center in Tirupur, India, make wonderful handmade vegetable oil-based soaps in a variety of scents. India still has the remnants of a caste system, and these artisans traditionally belong to the untouchable caste, or the lowest caste, but their work has given them dignity, fair income, and access to schooling for their children. And if you notice, she's sitting around a bunch of empty boxes. They also make the beautiful boxes that the soap comes in many different colors. So it looks like she has just finished folding up the boxes and making a group of maybe 100 boxes for the soap to come in that we sell in our stores. These ladies are from Uganda, and they are creating some of the beautiful baskets that we sell. Many of the women working in this group are infected with HIV/AIDS, and the income they receive from basket making provides a lifeline of support for them. So far, I've only been showing different ladies at work, but we also have many men who are able to work for us to support their family. This is Samuel Ancharia from Nairobi, Kenya, showing one of our wonderful galimotos, which is a child's push toy. As you push it, the wheels go around. He and his neighbors craft the galimotos and other crafts in Samuel's home workshop right in Kenya. And this one is Nain from Moradabad, India. He transforms ordinary discarded bicycle chains into extraordinary photo frames, bracelets, and menorahs. Silancia St. John from Port-au-Prince, Haiti, transforms used oil drums into unique wall art. He cuts open the 55-gallon drums, hammers them flat, and marks the designs on the black metal with chalk. Then, using a hammer and chisel, he pounds and cuts through the metal to make the designs. His intricate painting adds to the striking design. Silencia's work provides fair and steady income for him and his family. So those are just a few of the pictures of the artisans we purchase products from. I do have a sampling from our Williamsville store at the table in the lobby, but we have so much more at the store that I am hoping that some of you will think of buying Fair Trade next time you're looking for a gift. It's a great place to buy housewarming gifts, hostess gifts, wedding gifts, birthday gifts. I feel great when I make a purchase there because I know I'm not only giving a unique gift to a friend, but I'm also helping someone in some small village on the other side of the world. We've all heard the saying, give a man a fish and he eats for a day, but teach a man a fish and he eats for a year. So I hope the next time you're looking for something unique, either as a gift or for yourself, you'll take a trip to Williamsville. You'll be amazed at the beautiful items and bless the artisans with your purchase. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Pat. One of the things that I enjoy about our church is our diversity. Pastor Phil and Luann quietly encourage us to have different passions and focuses, which is a good thing. For example, our congregation just finished a three-week project for collecting money for diapers for Haiti. We just heard about that this morning through the inspiration of Chloe O'Connor and Anna Moyer. We also have about 20 people flying to Central America this summer to experience life in a third world country. Elizabeth Martin is currently heading up a bake sale at our high school for this project for fundraising. We as a congregation pretty strongly endorse homeschooling and adoption. At a recent church council meeting, Barb Moyer had an excellent devotional time recently that referenced scriptures about caring for orphans. Allison O'Connor, as a pro-life advocate, is dedicating a lot of her time and efforts to our local YLife organization. And along with Allison's efforts for pro-life, we have Pat Rittenberg and Paulette Schmidt, who are also dedicating their time to this cause in the summer months in downtown Buffalo. And for 3 or 4 years now, we've had Emma Kipfer as our local representative for Operation Christmas Child. To me, I feel that all of these parts of our body of Christ, these different organizations that we're supporting and we're getting we're getting involved with, it's all part of the body of Christ that Paul talks about in the Bible, in Romans. Now, for Pat and I, we feel a desire to help those who are born into countries and cultures where they are less fortunate than you and me here in the United States. Over the years, Pat and I have seen extreme poverty a lot of times, face to face, in many different countries. I still remember the first time that Pat and I were in a third world country. Pat was about 6 months pregnant, and I was looking out, at some of the areas that we were in, and I saw different places. I'd see these little children, just little children about that high, and they were literally just playing by the side of the street in the mud, and all they were wearing were shirts, no shoes, no pants of any kind at all, just literally no pants, these little kids playing in the mud. And I remember another time when we were traveling, and three of what, they call little Roma children, again, just little kids about this high, they came up and they panhandled Pat, asking for money. And it's just so sad when you see these families and little kids like that around the world, how unfortunate they are. So for Pat and I, 10,000 Villages is a mission that helps rectify these inequalities, even if just to a small degree. So Pastor Phil asked us to give a recap, kind of at a high level of 10,000 Villages, which is what Pat just did. And he also asked us to give a recap of our 5 weeks that we recently spent volunteering for 10,000 Villages in Canada. So I'm going to do a quick recap on what we did up there. First, I want to show you where we were. And then second, I want to show what I call our finished product. And third, I want to try to walk through a little bit what we had to do to get to our finished product. So first on the overhead is the state of Maine. And I'm going to walk over here and try this super pointer. This is a state of Maine. Probably everybody knows where this is on our United States map. It's about as far east and north as you can go on the map. So this is a state of Maine right here. You know, New York is down over here somewhere. We were up here in this little area up here around Moncton in New Brunswick. And then on to the next image, Chris. This one's not quite as big, but again, this is where the state of Maine is back here. And this is New Brunswick, and so we were based over here in Moncton. New Brunswick is part of what's called over here, is called the Maritime Provinces, which includes Newfoundland and includes Prince Edward Island, which is in here, and Nova Scotia, which is here. So this is all part of the Atlantic Ocean. This coming up here is the St. Lawrence Seaway. So if you see a ship going through the Welland Canal and going across Lake Ontario and up through the St. Lawrence Seaway, this is where it finally comes out into the Atlantic Ocean to head over to Europe. So this is where we were focused, up in these maritime or Atlantic provinces of Canada. 10,000 Villages operates in this area primarily by selling its product just during the Christmas time. Pat was talking about a store that runs 12 months a year here in Williamsville, but in this area, 10,000 Villages usually just sets up to sell during the Christmas season. So during an 11-week period before Christmas, 10,000 Villages is set up at 35 separate locations, being at each location just one weekend. During this time last year, 10,000 Villages sold over $500,000 in merchandise in these four rather sparsely populated provinces. To be exact, our final sale was $584,326. 10,000 Villages has been operating like this in the maritime provinces for over 20 years, and this was one of our best years. Pat and I were one of three volunteer teams that helped make this all come together. This past November had five Fridays and Saturdays and Sundays, and Pat and I managed a show or a sales event each in a different city, each of those five different weekends. Here is our November group that we're working with up there in the Maritime Provinces. Pat and I were volunteers. Let me figure this out again. This is Pat and I. Obviously, we are from Western New York. This couple here, that guy, and this lady back here, that was Ron and Connie. They were from Manitoba, from Winnipeg. And this was a third team, actually two sisters right here. And they're from Ontario, up around the Kitchener area. And the rest of the people in the back were the paid staff of the 10,000 Village organization there, the bookkeeper, the office manager, the warehouse manager.
And so on our next picture, this is what I call our finished product. Our sales events would usually run on a Friday and a Saturday, and Pat and I were responsible for transporting everything that you see in this picture to the site on Thursday. Then, when working with local volunteers from each community, we would unpack our truck, set up all the tables, set up all the display fixtures, all the stands, unpack all the product, and organize it so that it was attractively displayed throughout the room. We would always bring two or three laptops and printers and scanners for checking out our customers when they would buy things. We were set up to accept MasterCards and Visas online, and obviously, we were always happy to accept cash. For those of you who have been to Canada lately, you know how odd it feels to count Canadian money. It's now made of a polymer rather than from linen paper. So now, you know, a lot of times we refer to Canadian money as funny money. It really is funny money now. So back to setting up our location, we would have anywhere from 20 to 40 local volunteers at each city waiting to help us throughout our weekend. One local volunteer, that's the lady in the red sweater on this picture, she told Pat that she anxiously waits all year to help at her 10,000 village sale. She feels it's the most important thing that she does during her entire year. During our five weekend sales, just the ones that Pat and I did, we sold over $91,000 of merchandise. That averages about $18,000 a weekend. And so here, another three pictures or so that I have here just at random. This is what I call our finished product in the different locations on the different weekends we were set up. This last one, this is checking out in a separate room where we had all the products set up in one room and the way the building was set up. Then we had another area where the people funneled through to go through the checkout line. And this image is Belle Island Community Center from the outside where we were set up one of our five weekends. And it's parking lot full of cars. And here's the outside of a church where we were set up another weekend. We were in a large fellowship hall in the rear of the building. The congregation for this church belongs to the United Church of Canada, which is similar to our UCC churches here in the States. On this weekend, a newspaper reporter came out and interviewed the pastor and Pat on Friday. And on Saturday, both she and Pat had their names and their pictures and their, some of their quotes in the local newspaper there, which was fun for Pat. Pat said she never thought that she would, you know, make it into a Canadian newspaper. An interesting part of each weekend for Pat and I was sleeping in the homes of local volunteers. We were usually about 2 to 4 hours drive from our warehouse, which was too far to drive back and forth each day. So on the Thursday night and the Friday night, we would stay at the home of a local volunteer. Getting acquainted with these various hosts and hostesses was a high point of the month for me. One of the couples that we stayed with was a second-generation Russian Mennonites. Their parents had been forced to flee for their lives from Joseph Stalin's atheist regime in Russia right after World War II. It's so amazing to me to see how God keeps his people together worldwide through good times and bad. In my mind, I don't think God cares too much about politics or international borders or cares about secular national pride. Whenever I see a picture of our planet taken from space, the photo does not show the countries or their borders. I always think this is how God sees the world. It seems to me that God thinks mainly about our individual people, their needs, and their souls. It seems to me that God is mainly concerned about how Christians group together and how they support each other over the decades around the world. As you might expect, each of our local volunteers that we got to know also seemed to have a deep interest and concern, just not for their country of Canada, but for people around the world. So back to our sales events. On Saturday evening, after the end of each weekend sale, Pat and I, again, with the help of the local volunteers, would pack all of our unsold product back into their proper individual boxes, along with all the racks and all the display stands, along with all the computers, the printers, the scanners, and now our newly found loot. We would take all that and head back for the warehouse. getting there anywhere from 9 p.m. to about 11 p.m. or midnight sometimes. So to have this successful finished product for the weekends, we also had to work hard during the middle of the week. Back at the warehouse, all three teams would unload their trucks in the beginning of the week, sort through each and every returned item of merchandise, making sure that the right item was back in its right box with the right label with the right SKU number on it. Then we would restock all of our returned items back on the shelves in their designated sections. And then next, we would unpack and log in the newly arrived weekly shipment to the warehouse, normally about three pallets of merchandise. We would then merge the new merchandise, category by category, into the existing warehouse inventory already on the shelves. Here on this image, I'm helping Arlene, that was one of the two sisters from Ontario, helping her unload her truck. And on the next picture, someone caught Pat and I by surprise on this picture. And here's Pat and Connie and Arlene. Connie is the lady from Manitoba, Arlene's from Ontario. They're tallying the coffee and spice returns from one of the previous sales. And on this one, this is Arlene. She was kind of bossy sometimes. She's giving me an order. And just here's three more random pictures from us working in the warehouse. Okay. So who knows what I'm talking about on this one, right? I'm describing something big and large. And here I'm done talking. I'm back to work now. So on Thursdays, based on a merchandise list from our manager there at 10,000 Villages, each team would pack up its individual truck with merchandise, with our display racks, with our display fixtures, with our signs and our laptops and our printers and our scanners. And each of the three teams then head to a different city or a province. Often, Pat and I would have no real idea where we were going. We would just simply program our GPS with the address of the new location, and off we would go, good weather or bad weather. Sometimes we would take expressways, and sometimes we would take roads less traveled. Here, we were waiting for a ferry to cross a small river. And on this picture, on one of our weekend sails, we traveled to Nova Scotia, and we drove past this cute little lighthouse. Beyond the lighthouse, just on the horizon, you can see the Atlantic Ocean. And on this picture, these guys, they forgot to press the crosswalk button. And here, Pat and I thought we'd stop and wait for a moose. Okay, so back to being serious. On this picture are some of the people we worked with, as well as some of the people that were part of the local Mennonite congregation there. For me, another high point of our 5 weeks there was the mentoring that I received. Sundays, we always attended church and Sunday school at the local Petticodiac Mennonite Church, which was within walking distance of the warehouse. We were invited, Pat and I were invited to so many local homes and a couple church fellowship meals. During the 5 weeks we were there, I think we honestly ate our meals more often with people than just by ourselves. Just a great group of people there. And this picture, I think, is so cute. These two guys are the pastor's sons, and they are both as intellectual as they look. They really are. The oldest son would usually opt to attend the adult Sunday school class with us, and he would pay close attention to everything that was said rather than attend the class for his own age group. And here is a morning devotional time at the warehouse. Different volunteer staff, volunteers and the staff, would take turns leading the discussions at the warehouse. And as I get older, and hopefully a bit wiser, I find it comforting to see how God understands and supports people that don't always think just the way I do. So, the real reason I'm up here today, again, as Pat said, is to talk about the artisans around the world. This is a picture of a 10,000 Village craftsman from Cambodia. He's proudly showing a purse that he just made. And note that he has only one hand. This artisan is from Peru. She's holding a gourd that she is crafting, which through the 10,000 Villages network will find its way for sale here in the United States. And this smiling lady is from India. I just love her smile. She's so happy to have work and to be able to provide for her family. So during our 5 weeks in Canada, Pat and I had a great adventure and made new friends. But most importantly, we helped sell merchandise. We could tally it up on our computers. During the 5 weeks we were there, we actually sold product from 27 different underprivileged countries. So hopefully, we enabled people to earn a fair wage for their toil and work so they could better support themselves and their families. And hopefully, we helped them feel the love of God. So husbands, next time you have an anniversary or your wife has a birthday, you know where to shop. Thank you.